Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friend. I'm your host, Lene Heiss, and this is episode 112 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. Welcome back. I imagine some of you are cleaning the kitchen, driving a car, walking the dog, sitting at a park with your kids. Regardless of what you're doing right now, know how deeply valued you are by Moms in Prayer and me. We know this is a hard season and that we are all in the midst of the craziest decisions and changes. School decisions impact the earthly things we love the most, our kids. Each week we try to bring you content that encourages, empowers, and equips you to reach the next generation for Christ and to spur you on to pray powerfully and effectively for the kids in your life. That includes our kids who are trying to process their emotions about being separated from their friends and experiencing the disappointing milestones that they are missing. As I've prayed for you, I've wondered if it would be good to sit down and have a chat with my friend Michelle Nieder. Michelle is a Moms in Prayer mom, a counselor, and she has a background in education. Michelle is a tell-it-like-it-is friend who will cut to the chase if she hears something that departs from truth or reality. I think you're going to appreciate the portion where we talk about the warning signs that we need to get help for our kids. And we encourage you that if you see those warning signs, call for help. Before we get started, Moms in Prayer is a nonprofit ministry, and we're funded by the gifts of our listeners and prayer warriors like you. Would you take a moment and make a donation to this life-changing ministry? You can do that on our website at momsinprayer.org or by texting the word steward to the number 41444. That's the number 41444. You can find all the things we talk about and ways to connect with our guest in our show notes on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Now, let's get started with our interview with Michelle Nieder. Michelle Nieder, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you here, friend. And I just really feel like it's time to sit down with a good friend of mine who is in the mental health field and talk about some of the issues that moms and kids are facing right now with a mental health expert. So, Michelle, you are my in real life friend. Introduce yourself to our audience.
Hi, I'm Michelle Nieder, and I'm actually a Moms in Prayer leader in the Dallas, Texas area, and have been leading at times an elementary school, an intermediate school, and a private Christian school Moms in Prayer group. I wanted those schools to be covered. I was passionate about that for my kids. And that's kind of how I think you and I first connected, was I realized you were involved with the organization at a speaker-writer conference. And it was something that was important to me too, especially that like walking around the school before school starts. And I'm still going to do it because we may, even if we don't have kids in school, we're going to have teachers delivering instructions. So we're still going to walk around that school and pray over that school and all the fun things that happen with that. But I also have been a professional counselor for 20 years. I have been a previous reading specialist in the school districts. I have taught both high school English. I've been a department chair. I've been a middle school counselor. I've been a high school counselor. And I developed a crisis school counseling for a large school district of over 13,000 kids servicing over 20 schools. So when it comes to this topic of education and mental health, that's kind of my thing. Is to try to help families and their parents navigate these difficult situations well. And man, if there was ever a need for that, COVID-19 has brought that straight to the forefront for sure.
Yeah, well, not only are you a mental health expert and awesome, you're also a mama. So tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah, I've been married to my husband for 17 years and we have two children. One is going into fourth grade this year. Right now he's enrolled in public school and we're gonna see how that goes this year. Last spring, he did not have enough work that kept him away. I'm just gonna be real with y'all, the screens enough and the gaming. And so we are trying to figure out, is that gonna look different this year? We're gonna try and see what that looks like. back, and we have chosen online school for him. He has sensory issues, and a lot of them. He does not eat anything that's a colored food unless pizza counts for that. And the other colored foods are only like badly dyed cereals or something like that. And he is living his best life in COVID-19. He has one friend. We have opened up the door to the one friend, and he's super happy doing school in a blanket with, you know, just hanging out, and he loves home. And then I have birthed, that's his father. I have birthed an extension of me. She is turning 13. Well, I always say she's 13, like going on 21. She is an old soul and a hot mess, like loves to, you know, my IQ is definitely dropping as the years go by here. And she, even at 3 years old, would say to me, like, Mom, what are we going to do today and who are we going to play with? And she is really struggling. She is having, I mean, I'm kind of grateful. We are in a very privileged situation where she is in a private Christian school that goes 3 days a week. It's called a university model. We've done school at home our entire life almost because of COVID. We're looking at restructuring again, where she may be going 5 days a week because she, instead of doing theater conveniently while I'm at work, we may have to get her transported in the middle of the 2 days she's supposed to be at home. But you know what? All of us moms are doing the best we can to figure this out as we go. And I'm not even sure what you're asking me now about my kids, if that's going to be what it looks like in November, but this is what I know now. And we're going to talk about that perspective today.
I think that's just really important, not only for moms and prayer moms to hear, which is like, we still, first of all, we still have a responsibility to pray for the schools, even if they're not meeting on campus. You want to speak to that end?
No, that's good. I think you just said it quite well right there, sister. We need to go out and pray for the schools, and we need to try to cover some of the schools that aren't covered that we know of. And I'm grateful. I actually met a church community group. And I'm like, oh, did you come because you saw my Facebook post? And she's like, I don't even have any kids here, you know, but a church had sent out people, and I found a sister in Christ, and she and I walked around the school together last year and prayed for that school. And that church was making sure all our schools in our district were covered, which I was so grateful for. So yeah, I think we have a calling as moms definitely to pray for our schools, because there are teachers there delivering instruction. And if there was ever a time teachers needed prayer, I just finished the Teacher Be Still conference nationally talking to teachers. They're having a hard time with all this too. I'm an educator. I have a bachelor's in education, and there is nothing in my school curriculum that prepared any of us for what is going on right now.
Education. Right. And the interesting thing is that not only do we not know, teachers do not know how to pivot like this. They miss their students. They did not get into this because they wanted to stare at their computer screens all day. They got into this for kids, and the kids have largely been taken away from them too. So the joy has just been sucked out of the room. There's so many decisions that have to be made right now. And so, Michelle, I'm with you. This is the time to literally and figuratively surround our schools in prayer. Let's just go all in for a second on that the rug was pulled out from underneath all of us collectively this spring when we all left school unexpectedly. So do you see that in the women that you serve too, that we have moms who are going, I have no idea what I'm doing right now?
Oh, do I see that? I see that from my sister-in-law who was about to take a job, like literally had committed to a job part-time during the school day, whose five-year-old twins, she's delivering kindergarten instruction. She has no education degree for the first time. So mamas, we feel you. I'm trying to figure out who's going to tutor algebra, because there is no way. I mean, I have honors calculus on my high school transcript, but I don't remember what that means. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out, could I swap like some type of barter with a kid who could teach my kid algebra and help her answer her questions? And I want to say this, we've all been through this in different ways. I want to normalize that we have all been stressed out. I'm trying to deliver telehealth counseling at home with my kids in the background. I mean, literally interrupting one of my own counseling sessions to say, I'm really sorry, but I need just a minute because my son is supposed to be in speech therapy right now. And I just got a text from the speech therapist saying he hasn't shown up yet. So we took just a minute. I got upstairs. I got him back online, because normally I would not be doing all this like this. It just wouldn't work the same way. So we are definitely struggling as parents trying to figure out our new normal. And it's going to be different. We have different resources. We have different options to us. I had one mom who was really kind of upset because she's like, well, I wish my kid had the option of going to school. I had a mom call me angry and say, wow, I wish I had the privilege of writing that check so I could make happen what's going to happen in your life. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. I don't know what to say other than I wish it could be different for all of us right now. And we are all struggling. And I think what we have to do, first of all, is we need to find our village. And our village may shift a little. I'm very grateful. My son has a one village makeup for the most part. And I called that mom and I was kind of holding my breath because I was like, are you going to send him to school? Because I don't want to send my son to school too. And I realized if his best friend goes to school, they can't play together. And let me say this, I think kids need to play. And nobody wrestles with my son the way another boy does. Like, I'm too fragile for this. His sister will have nothing to do with it. He's got his dad, but that only goes so far. I think our kids still need to play. I think we got to figure out what that looks like for us. And it's different depending on our situations. I have another friend who's really struggling right now because they've got an elderly parent in their home, but she's got a child who does not have, and we're going to talk about some big words here. I'll try to explain. There's this thing called executive functioning skills in a book called Smart But Scattered. And what those are is, does my child have the ability to manage themselves? The average six-year-old boy does not have the ability to manage himself and get himself in and out of Zoom rooms and keep up with the schedule. And, you know, she's like, we got to go to school, even though that's going to be a huge risk for them. And I think it's hard. And this is what I keep hearing moms say. And I think we need to change the language. I've corrected 3 moms in the counseling center this week. So hopefully this will help some people. The question is not what's the right decision for me. The question is what's the best decision based on what we know and what our family can do. Because none of us is God. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. We just really have to try to figure it out. And some of us aren't getting a choice anymore. A lot of governors are intervening and you will be doing school online. You will miss that first day of kindergarten drop off, mama, or that last time you do that. And there's some grief involved in this. I think we all were hopeful when those schools closed in May that we were headed back to normalcy. And I think we're all dealing with the traumatic shock for a lot of us that that's not going to happen.
So we not only have this mom thing going on, we also have this kid thing going on. So yeah. For our kids, Michelle, they came home in March 13th. I think I'll remember that day for the rest of my life. March 13th, 2020, the day my kids came home from school and didn't go back, right? And so not only did we deal with that and have this extended spring break, but all of a sudden it dawned on the kids, they're not going back to school and it's going to be 6 months before they do. And so I'm wondering for the parents that are listening, whose kids aren't going back, some of our California schools not going back till January.
Yeah.
Like, kids are really, really grieving in this time too. What do you say to the mom whose child is grieving not going back to school right now?
I would say that for most of you, your kid's going to be just fine. Know what grief looks like. Know that your kid's going to be irritable. They're going to have a meltdown and you're going to be like, where did that come from? And it's the grief talking. My son definitely went through that. I remember one time in the spring, I said, hey, your teacher let me know you're missing this assignment. And before I could even say, I'm sure we'll figure it out tomorrow, he just starts melting down. And I just was quiet. I went in his room and I rubbed him back. And as I rubbed his back, he said, I don't think I'm going to get to say goodbye to my teacher. I miss my friends. Why don't we have recess? You know, because I'm not giving him recess here. I don't have time to do that. And so it is hard on our kids. Now, what we have to do, and I think us as mental health professionals who work with child and adolescents, we want to let you mamas know if your kid is getting stuck, can't get out of bed, not sleeping, crying every day. You see a lot of food consumption or no food consumption. I'm not talking about for a day or two. I mean, all of us, let's be real. Us mamas are like, one minute we're like, we can do this. And the next minute we're crying in the shower.
Totally. Totally.
You know, just thinking, how do I keep this up? Because this new normal is something none of us expected. And we took a lot for granted. I think we, as Americans, just thought we were entitled to some things like, you know, public education that involved teachers taking care of the kids during the day and things like that, that we don't have right now. I think we can learn some things from the homeschool moms, but I want to be honest with you guys. Homeschool moms are struggling too, because they were part of co-ops. They were part of field trips. Their lives don't look the same either. They do know how to, some of them pretty well know how to do an educational plan, kind of like a teacher would, a scope and sequence. And let me say this, that looks different than school at home, where a school district is driving the curriculum.
Yep,
and I do know some friends who are opting out, and we will, if the school district curriculum does not work for our kid, the one who's in the public school system, then I will look at, there's some very inexpensive online school academies. It's probably not my ideal, but let me give you mama's awesome hope. Your kids who are meant to read will read. They'll learn how to read, I promise you. And worst case scenario, you'll be working on those phonics like I did as a reading specialist and letter combinations in the evening with them, and they're going to be okay. Every kid's still going to graduate with a high school diploma. COVID-19 may shake our world, but it's not going to destroy our kids' future. And I think you can have a lot of hope in that. I do think that it's a time to talk about emotional vocabulary for sure. And God's word's got a lot of it. Go to Psalms. David's one of the most bipolar looking people I've ever met. He's like up and praising God 1 minute, and he's like, why have you abandoned me the next? You know, there's some good emotional vocabulary there. And I think we need to help our kids with that.
Okay. Emotional vocabulary. Michelle, what does that even mean?
Okay. So for like little kids, it means sad, mad, happy, scared. But for older kids, we need to get the variations. Like, I need to know if my child's disappointed, discouraged, or truly depressed. Because kids throw around the words like, now, it's kind of weird. My language has become trendy. To use the words like depression and anxiety are almost trendy. And I think, no, that's not really anxiety. That's just worry. That's anxiety is something when worry gets out of control and it's controlling you and your body. That's anxiety. There's a difference between the two.
Right.
And we've all had worry our whole lives. And I think we're worrying more than ever. I think it's interesting, though, because I do think when I truly connect with God, I still find a peace that passes all understanding that can overcome my worries. And I do want to, since this is one of my favorite places to be, your audience, because we have kingdom perspectives here, too. I do not believe COVID-19 is going to rob any of our children of the purposes that God created them for.
Amen.
Right? Because some of our kids don't even need to know math well. Sorry, math teachers, I love you. My mom was a math teacher, just disclaimer here. But really and truly, our kids aren't all going to, what God has planned for them in their future to impact the kingdom of God, math may not be a big concern of theirs.
Right.
We are all going to be equipped differently for that. And I truly believe, I know this too, my kids are going to know and love God this year. My kids are going to learn something. If nothing else, they're learning this summer on YouTube, some really fascinating. My son is always like, Mom, did you know about this fish?
<laughs> <You know? laughs> No, I did not. Actually, Michelle, last night we were watching YouTube. YouTube, first of YouTube. All, like it's a channel.
It's like a channel, I know.
But like he caught a 30-pound bass. And my son's like, check this out, Mom. And I'm like, I had no idea. Well, where is this from? I mean, we just had a lesson on not only the planet, but fish. This is what we're talking about, is like learning is going to happen.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen. Because God created us to do it, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's going to look different than we thought it was. But I just think you're so right. Like, we're going to need to boil down right now on what really, truly matters. And as Christian moms, as moms in prayer moms, what really, really does matter? Well, it's walking our kids through this and helping them learn to trust God in the middle of this, right? To help them understand that he's still sovereign. He's still in control of what they're going through. But I mean, as moms, we need to always be helping make that bridge, asking, is my child okay? Are we okay?
Well, and I think that starts with us. Sometimes I don't think we have nervous breakdowns in front of our kids, but I think we can say, I mean, I had a day where I just told the kids, it was after you and I were supposed to be together in Michigan, and it got, that whole week was canceled. And I saw all you guys, but I saw y'all on a screen. I didn't even realize it had hit me so hard until that Saturday. And I just told my kids, I'm having a tough time. And I don't even know if I completely clued into the grief of just what we missed through that, even though so much good came out of it. I mean, God worked so much good through that conference, but still I missed the fellowship of being with you guys and all the crazy antics and celebrations and spiritual encouragement that comes face to face. I missed the hugs. I missed it all. And I told them, I kind of need some time to just be sad and get through this a little bit. And guys, your kids are going to need that too sometimes, but they're not going to be able, unless they're a counselor's child and do weird things like mine do sometimes, they may not be able to verbalize that.
Yeah.
It may look more like, just let me be in my room and leave me alone. And you can leave your kids alone for a little while. Do not let them spend a week in their room by themselves. You know, you have to kind of just say, hey, it's my job to make sure you're okay. So like, you got to FaceTime your friends, or we got to go to a park or maybe in our back porch and spend some time 6 feet apart from real human people and you still know what that's like. So I think there's a place for us to mom. I like that as a verb sometimes. And just to say, these are things I know keeps you healthy. And so even though this is hard, we're going to still do these. And then I have to mom on the other side with the other child. And, you know, she's always making plans. If we go here and we stay 6 feet apart and we wear a mask, can we be together? And I'm like, what adult is coming to make sure you follow those rules? Because if we turn our backs, they'll be hugging on each other far from 6 feet apart. And we all have increased our risk of exposure. And let me say this. I think all of us as families are having to do a risk assessment and decide what that risk is for each one of us and what we can live with. And sometimes it's really hard. I've had to make a lot of compromise in my marriage with it. My husband's risk assessment looks very different than mine right now. He is much more relaxed about risk than I am. And you're going to have kids like that, moms. Some of your kids are just going to be able to go with this flow and their brains are pretty flexible. And some of your kids will learn to have more flexibility and it's going to be hard for them.
Yeah,
because their brains aren't made like that. God didn't make their brain that way, and they are going to struggle. But here's what I want to tell you. I believe we can empower all our kids to struggle well. We may be raising the most resilient generation that this earth has seen in a long time because our kids are learning to do hard things young. And I will put some pressure on all of us. Some of that's going to depend on how we interact with God and model that for them.
Yep.
As moms.
Yep.
In prayer.
In prayer. Yeah. What does that look like for you? What does that wrestle look like for Michelle Nieder?
I think for me, it looks like time to be in nature for me, walking and talking with God and listening and thinking. I think scriptures that I learned in VBS, funny because we didn't get to go to VBS this year, a lot of us, but scriptures that I learned a long time ago are, Psalm 23 has been a huge rock for me.
Me too.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I think because we're in the green pastures, but we're beside the still waters, but we're walking through the valley of this. We feel some days like we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet still I will fear no evil. And so for me, it is dwelling on the scriptures that are the foundation of my faith and my hope and reminding myself of that truth so I can keep an eternal perspective in a world full of earthly chaos.
This morning I got up and I was having my quiet time out on the front porch, which is one of the luxuries of summer, right? And I was reading in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of living water, so my soul pants after you. It's just this intense longing. And I wonder if in the middle of this, you know, not only are we looking at the news and we're going, fix it, Jesus, but I think it's creating a hunger in us for all things to be righted, that we are asking God, your kingdom come, your will be done, in words that we've never been able to express before. I think lots of us have had cushy America, like we've talked about before, where our kids were good, our schools felt pretty good, it felt safe, and that reality has largely been rocked for our families. And now we're going, this cannot be the way it's supposed to be.
Well, but let me say this too on that note. There have been days where I had a hard time experiencing God at all. Because I do believe grief and depression will block the emotional, spiritual experience for those who are that wired that way.
Yep.
That there will be times where we feel Godless.
Yep.
In times of discouragement. There may be days, and this is where I think we've got to be careful. We cannot allow darkness to swallow us because then it has a better chance of swallowing our kids. And so I think we fight a spiritual battle against the darkness in our kids' hearts and minds after we fight that in our own lives. And then we are curious about our kids and we are talking to our kids. And I'm a counselor and I evaluate kids all the time. Now, I don't go around asking my children because they would shoot me if I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sad are you today? I mean, I'm not going to get away with that like I do in a session where I'm being paid to do that. And kids know that's part of our process and part of our counseling. But I did ask my daughter, I remember in the middle of the spring, you know, when's the last time you cried? And she's like, Mom, I've cried every day since we've been home. I'm like, are you kidding me? She's like, yeah, in my room. I'm sad every day when I get on that stupid Zoom and see people there and try to do school that way. And I just, I love school. I love being with my friends. She and I were trying to think of creative options. If we had gone, I think she may be able to go to school. We'll see what the governor does. We just all got to flex because we don't know what's coming. But if she isn't allowed to go to school, she's the kid who I did say, she has a circle of three on top of her. We've stretched ourselves a little more there. We have these COVID circles, I call them. And in her circle, I told her, if we need to, maybe they can all come over and the four of you can do school together. So, you know, I'm okay with that. They first threatened that they were going to alternate weeks in each one of our home, and I only see my daughter 1 week out of the month. And I kind of said, that's a lovely plan, but that didn't happen. You know, right. Like, yep. I did not birth you to see you 1 week a month. But I do think we as parents are being called to be flexible, creative, to understand that. And I do want to say this to you, mamas, your kids have real social and emotional needs that we are going to have to ask God to join with us to creatively figure out how to meet those needs during this time. And we alone cannot be the meter of those needs. First of all, for you introverts, it would wear you out so bad that you would just want to never get out of bed. And then for us extroverts, unfortunately, our children don't always pick us anymore. I miss those days. But as my child's moving into middle school and high school, her friends meet her emotional needs. You know, unfortunately, a lot of times I'm kind of like, I haven't seen you much. Could you please do this? And by the way, next time everybody comes over, not everybody's going in my closet and trying on all my clothes. I know we've never had that discussion. I didn't know we needed to, but we do, you know? So it's tough sometimes to be the parent, but it's important that we're thinking about that our kids' perspectives are different than ours. And we want to find out. We want to invite them to share.
Yep. Okay. So one of the byproducts of COVID-19 has been a rise in isolation, in depression, and anxiety, to use all the buzzwords at once, in suicidal attempts and ideations in teens. And so, Michelle, the last thing I want to do is open a can of worms here at the end of our podcast, but I do feel like we need to talk about some warning signs. Like, what will we look for in our kids to know that they're past okay and we need to seek outside help?
If your kid's crying every day for more than a week or two, you need to seek outside help. If your child can't sleep at night, is having racing thoughts. I've got some kids right now reporting really intrusive thoughts of weird things. Those aren't healthy and normal. They could be a spiritual attack, and get a good Christian counselor so they can discern that. But there may be more. The fear may be building up to the point the brain is kind of like misfiring a little bit there. And so we need to look at that, especially in lieu of family history. And then hormones come into play here too. We have got to fight isolation, whatever that looks like for us. Even my son, who is very like low maintenance socially, still needs to have that one friend. And every one of your children, you know, a good question to be asking them is, who have you talked to out of your friend circle? And if the answer is no one, no one, no one, that is not a healthy place for a child to exist, for sure. Yep. We were made to be in community. We were designed that way. Genesis says it's not good for man to be alone, and woman. And so that is more than just about marriage. That is about how we are wired as people. Shame and the lies of the enemy can build up pretty fast when people hide. And that's why we need to give our children opportunities to interact. I'm grateful. I'm working with children's ministers, youth ministers. They're trying to be creative and give kids opportunities to be in groups and bear their soul. You know, my co-author of Loved and Cherished, Lynn Cowell, and I are doing this online girls camp. We got like 70 girls coming into Zoom every week. We're popping them into breakout rooms for camp. And they've said, it is so good to see people's faces. It is so good to talk to other girls. And mamas, as busy as you are, you got to help your kids with this. You got to set up those play dates, even if they're on a FaceTime call. I did not ever think I'd say to my 13-year-old, I can tell you're really sad, go FaceTime somebody. But that's where we're at. And and our worlds are changing. We're having to pivot in a whole new way as parents when it comes to screens. But that is reality. I told my son, go play with your cousin upstairs. He is going to go online game with his cousin on a speakerphone, laughing and talking, because that's what boys do. And that is good for him to do. Now, it's not good for him to do 12 hours a day, but it's good for him to do. Yeah. So I think though too, let me say this to you as a parent. If your child talks about not wanting to be here anymore, they are not just seeking attention. You need to listen to that and you need to get them evaluated to see if they need more help. It is not normal for kids not to want to be here anymore. It is not normal for a kid to say, I think dying is better. And I will tell you, there's a lie in this culture I've never seen to this level before, Lee. that says the easy way out is death. It scares me. I mean, the numbers are going up. I hate it. I've been dealing with this since I was a crisis counselor at a high school. We need to teach our young kids that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to bring abundant life. And you can't go there in your head. If you start having those thoughts, you fight them. I've already taught my kids to fight the thoughts of death and destruction and negativity. And we need to equip our kids for the battle of darkness. I can talk about it as depression as a clinician, but I can also talk it as a woman who's been to seminary. That battle of darkness is real. And even as I worked in a public school system, I couldn't talk about, you know, Jesus and Satan, but I could talk about darkness and light. And we need to embrace light and walk in light. Scripture calls us to that. We need to teach our kids how to do that. And sadly, the happiness research is true. I'm very fortunate. I had a high happiness tank to begin with. I know it's annoying sometimes probably for you, but it's pretty high. And then I add to it because I do things that make me feel good. And I think we mamas need to remember to be doing that for ourselves. And then we're gonna have to teach our kids to do that. My daughter is the cleanest she's ever been in her life because she deals with stress by taking baths and showers. And I'm not limiting those as much as I don't know what else to do to our water bill. But, you know, we need to help our kids find ways to cope and things that make them happy. I believe in the joy of the Lord, but we also need sometimes some temporary joy and distraction. Distraction is a big part of mental health. You know, we're all doing it. Let's be honest, parents. That's why you're Netflix binging, because you want to be distracted from the worries of today.
And so some of that distraction is okay. And yes, other times it's not okay anymore. So Michelle,
tell you when the difference is, if you want to know.
I want to know.
Okay. So it's okay when you have control over it, but when it takes control of you and you say, I'm only going to watch 2 hours and it's 6 hours later, who's got control? It's no different than me with like sugar. I'll say, I'm just going to eat this one piece of chocolate and 4 later, you know, I'm kind of like, oh, you know, so all of us have those things. Probably, I don't know many people in their lives. I mean, Paul had, you know, the thorn in his side. I think all of us have got one, but we need to be careful with that. I think distraction is good. I think not living life and living a distracted life keeps us from the purposes God has called us to.
That's good stuff. All right. So Michelle, last question. That's that all of us pivoted to online learning at some level. Most of us that are listening to this podcast have access to the internet. So our kids have pivoted to online learning. We've got screens in front of us constantly. Our kids, I mean, I've had to up my kids' screen time limit hour over hour. You know, before we were edging it up in 15-minute increments, you know, now we're like, sorry, 4 hours of Zoom today. You know, like, how do we help draw those healthy boundaries for our kids or see when the screen is becoming destructive in their life?
And when they can't get away from it. Like I've taught my child, the minute you melt down when I ask you to leave it is the minute I know that it's too much and too important. So I need you to keep your flexible brain active. I think it's very important that we are asking our kids to move. If there is ever mental health, just to let you know, 20 to 30 minutes a day of activity, 3 to 5 times a week is as efficient as a low dose of an antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication. So we need more than ever for our kids to be moving. My son knows that his screen time will be better if he gets his movement in. So we have put an Exercycle elliptical in the middle of our living room. And I don't care if they're on a screen while they're doing that. I just want them moving. I want their bodies moving. I want their heart racing. I want their joints being lubricated. And most of all, I want that serotonin dropping into their brains. Ironically, hot baths also do that. So that's why I'm good with squeaky clean kids right now. I think my son's serotonin is real low on that end because some days I've had to ask him this summer. I hate to even ask this because it makes me feel like a horrible mom, but how long has it been since you had a bath or a shower? You know, but we need to help our kids find ways to up the dopamine and serotonin in their brains that are healthy for them, for sure.
Michelle, I don't even have to ask you if there is cooperation between mind, body, soul, and spirit. But I think that a lot of times in Christendom, we've done a disservice in saying that mental health matters or that we could faith out of dark places. But there are times when we need to bring in outside help. That's when counseling and outside help matters, right?
Yeah. And let me say this. I'm going to give you all just like a short coaching session. Any counselor you're hiring should be directive. That means they have a plan. They know research on outcome-based treatment, what's effective. If you ask them, if they say they're a Christian counselor, then they should explain to you how they involve God in the process, whether it's taking scripture into cognitive behavioral therapy, whether during dialectical behavioral therapy. And I know I'm throwing around some big psychobabble right now, but bear with me. We breathe in the love of God and out the worries of our world. There are creative ways that well-equipped counselors can interweave approaches that we know help make the mind and the body work better with faith. And I believe in that total wellness approach. And I also believe as a solution-focused pastoral counselor, which is every one of my staff, I have 15 counselors delivering telehealth across the state of Texas right now. They have to read that book within the first couple of months of being on our staff, because they are going to bring the hope of Christ into every session they do. And that is a very important aspect of solution-focused work. I had one kid today who's so stuck, and I told her, what's your game plan? And she gave me her game plan, and it was all about the problem. And I'm like, I'm so glad you want to track this problem. But eventually, I need to know how you're going to solve this problem, because your mood disorder is going to come. You're going to wake up days with no energy and be stuck. And while it's good to figure out when those are and what your external triggers for those are, I need to know how you're going to change that. And you and I've talked about some options, but I need you to practice them enough to figure out what works and what doesn't.
So good. So good. All right, Michelle, I know that it is the end of our time together, but I wonder if you could pray for the moms that are listening and just this pressure that they're under to have wisdom, to direct their kids into health and wellness of not just their bodies, but also their minds.
I'd be honored. God, I just lift up all of us to you. And we lay ourselves before you, kind of sometimes more broken than we've been in a long time, Lord. And we are hungry for you and thirsty for you to be the lifter of our heads and the light in our world. Lord, you alone can overcome the darkness in our lives and in the lives of our kids. So Lord, use us and help us to keep an eternal perspective, even in the midst of what feels like earthly chaos. May we receive your love, and may we remember more than anything in this world, loved people do well. And God, our kids are going to be okay. And God, I pray for discernment for every woman listening, that if her child is not okay and the darkness is creeping in, that you would bring it to the light, give her the courage to face it. And Lord, I know sometimes how hard it is to reach out to help, and then you don't know what help to find. I pray for provision of help in every state, God. I know that I worked with a woman this week and she said, you don't understand where I live. And Lord, I just pray that those of us who are in the mental health field, that and that we would remember as moms that our kids are more than just learners. They're more than just performers. They're definitely not just extensions of us. But God, they are people you have created. They are the future kingdom of this country, kingdom leaders of this country. Give us insight on how to equip them. And Lord, help us not to sweat the small stuff and get distracted by it. But instead, Lord, help us to turn to you and embrace the hope, not in this world, but that you offer us every day. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that good stuff? COVID-19 may shake our world, but it will not destroy our kids' futures. That is held by our unshakable Heavenly Father. Is there a mom who would benefit from listening to today's episode? Would you take a minute to share this episode and maybe even Moms in Prayer with her? If this is your first time here, thanks so much for joining us. You can learn all about the ministry that God has given us to pray for children and schools around the world on our website at momsinprayer.org. We love being on this journey with you, friends. If you have stories about how God is working where you are, email us at podcast@momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference. Moms just like you. See you next week.